Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning. It's Monday. Thank you for joining us here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and again, we have a fantastic, I think a really important show for you today. I'll be chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi, and hopefully I'm not butchering this too much. We're going to be chatting RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus. Let us have your questions for our guest on the studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. We're not going to be providing advice, but more discussing what the virus is and what sort of, you know, how who it affects and what can be done about it. Let us have your questions for our guest, and we'll be back straight after these words.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. And we are chatting with Diane Baron, and from Sanofi, and we were going to mess with you, our listeners, and we're going, bonjour, Diane, comment ça va?
Ça va très bien, et toi, Nicolas?
Très bien, merci, merci. Okay, so we'll set it in English, otherwise I'm going to get into trouble. Diane, just before we get started, I wanted to just issue an apology to one of our favorite listeners from last week, Carol, because I kept missing the questions that were being sent through. So at least now Craig will help by putting the questions into the chat in Zoom, and I'm not going to be missing them. And on that note, let us have your questions for our guest on our studio WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. So Diane, welcome to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nicholas. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, thank you. Tell us, what is RSV?
So RSV stands for, as you mentioned before, respiratory syncytial virus. So it's a virus that is very common. It infects people at all stages of life, but it is most severe for babies, and it is very frequent in babies. Some global studies have estimated that before the age of two, the majority of babies will have been infected. And the babies that are most at risk are the ones that are the youngest, because their immune system is immature and because their lungs are very small, so they're very, very easily obstructed.
So what is the effect that the virus has on the body?
So it causes what we call the lower respiratory tract infection. So basically it means infections of the lungs. So it causes pneumonia and what we call bronchiolitis for the youngest babies.
Okay. And how serious can this be? Is this something that's potentially life-threatening?
It can be, actually. So it can be very mild, from a very mild cold, or it can get very, much more severe, leading to hospitalization, and in some cases also leading to death, especially, as I mentioned, for the youngest babies below 6 months or even below 3 months.
Okay. How do parents identify that their child might have RSV?
So it's the symptoms are very similar to a cold. So it can be fever, coughing, runny nose, irritability for the babies. So it's really it looks like a common cold, but it's infection of the lungs. So what I can say is that if there is any doubt of what it can be, to really seek out healthcare professional advice, and to make sure that the babies are well taken care of and go to the hospital if needed.
Absolutely. So I think when in doubt, go and get it checked out. Exactly. It's not about causing anxiety or two, but just it's always better to be safe. What is the form of diagnosis? How is it diagnosed that the child potentially has RSV? What are the tests that are done?
Yeah, so there are tests actually that exist when you get a bit of a sample in the throat to detect what is the agent, the pathogen behind the disease, and if it's a bacteria, if it's a virus, and if it's a virus, which one it is. So there are indeed tests that exist to make sure that the healthcare professionals provide treatment that is adapted to the pathogen.
Right. The reason I wanted to ask is I think some parents might be concerned, is it a blood test? You know, what is the, how long is the child going to need to be in hospital and so on. So that's, I think, just if it's nothing too scary, then I think there's always a greater chance of parents going in.
Exactly. No, it's nothing to be scared about for sure. And then again, the test will depend on how the severity of the disease, what is the state of the child, and to make sure that, yeah, again, that they are well taken care of and that the treatment is that is provided is adapted.
You mentioned sort of that there's a very, very high rate of infection, and that most babies have been infected, and have sort of the maybe they the system has dealt with the virus. Where are the main areas where babies can contract RSV? You know, is it sort of just from passing on from parents, from other kids? You know, at that such a young age, they're not going to creche, they're not going to nursery school yet, which we all know is f are famous for getting the whole family sick.
Yeah, no, it's as many respiratory diseases or contagious diseases. So babies can easily get infected when they are in contact with other infected people, not only babies, but people from the households or other people that are in contact. But even though RSV circulates year-round, there is a high seasonality. So in South Africa, it's between February and May, roughly. So it can vary a little bit depending on which province, which region you are in. But yes, there is this high seasonality with a very high peak of infection rate between February and May.
Okay. So that's also where we're sort of moving into autumn and winter, and that's the beginning of the normal flu season. But I suppose potentially what's also good around that is that it's not early spring where there's pollen and all of this in the air that can aggravate, you know, sort of our hay fever.
Yeah, definitely. And also to keep in mind that we might think that there are babies that are born with particular comorbidities that have a problem with already with the lungs or with the heart. So those are particularly at risk of RSV and of RSV severe disease. But the data show that actually the majority of babies that end up being hospitalized because of RSV don't have any comorbidities and were born full term and without any issues. So there is no predicting who could get severe disease from RSV. So yeah, it's important
So,
to keep in.
if you're growing up in a family with asthmatics or with lung issues, it's not an indicator necessarily that you'll end up with RS or severe RSV. And the opposite then also then from what I understand now is true, that if you're healthy and strong and fit, you can still end up with quite severe sort of RSV and end up in hospital.
Exactly.
Okay. What I also wanted to touch on is from an adult point of view, how does this affect adults for the first question? And second question, can we be walking around as adults with RSV and not be aware of it? Maybe just a little bit of a runny nose and we just think it's, you know, sort of Johannesburg's wonderful air quality.
So indeed, I mean, RSV can in fact infect everyone, and it's about the severity of the disease that is higher in the infants and babies, but also then in later stage of life for the elderly, there can be also some severity there. And yes, I mean, I think everyone in adult life. Some every year is getting a cold at some point, and no one is bothering to check which pathogen, or is it a bacteria, a virus, or which one it is. So definitely, we can be walking around with it.
Okay. And I think because that's something that maybe that we do need to be aware of if we're dealing with newborns and infants. So that, you know, if we're coming into contact, it's needing to be a little bit more responsible, perhaps. In the healthcare space, are healthcare workers checked if they are showing symptoms?
It's a good question. I'm not completely sure. I'm sure that there are guidelines existing depending on the clinics and on the hospitals. Yeah.
Right. I think also it's such a challenge because the system is under such stress that you don't want healthcare workers being away from their positions. Is there, okay, we're going to go just to our ad break. When we come back, I would just want to touch on sort of, is there serious risk for adults as well? Is it more around comorbidity, or can it again affect anyone? And we're going with the potential to end up in hospital with a serious RSV. We'll get to that question as soon as we're back from our ads. We're chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi, and we are talking about the RSV virus. Let us have your questions for our guest here on 101.9 High FM on 061-895-1019. It's the Disco Medical Monday show, and I'm Nicholas Ingle.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning here on the Disco Medical Monday show. My name is Nicholas Ingle. You're listening to 101.9 High FM, and I'm chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi, and we're talking RSV. You may have noticed, and I'm calling it RSV because I keep getting the middle name wrong in the pronunciation. Let me give it a try again. Respiratory. This is where the dyslexic brain kicks in. Syncytial.
Syncytial.
Syncytial, thank you. Virus. And I just wanted to get that out there just so that people do know what we're talking about. Just before we went to ads, we were going to touch on sort of the severity or the potential risk for adults. Obviously, not compared to infants as we've discussed, but is there a risk? Is it something people need to be aware of?
So yes, RSV can infection can also be severe in adults, especially adults over 65 or 70 that have chronic heart or lung disease. It could be COPD, so COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or asthma, or any other kind of chronic disorder. So in that case, RSV can lead to hospitalization because it could cause severe pneumonia. And also in the more severe cases, it could also lead to death.
Sure. So the virus is more causing the pneumonia. It doesn't have its own sort of effect on the body. It's or the effect is pneumonia, just to get a clearer understanding around that.
So it causes pneumonia. So what is specific to this virus and why we call it syncytial? That is so easy to pronounce.
You call it sensational. I call it something.
It's because it has the effect of, in the way that the virus replicates, it causes cells to blend together, to fuse together. And those big cells, then they cause a bigger inflammatory reaction. And this is what then will cause also obstruction of the lungs, etc. So this is why it's very severe in infants, because their lungs are so small and the airways are so small that they are easily obstructed. And also why in the elderly, where the immune system will be less efficient, there will be also some severe cases.
And I suppose the advice around this as well is don't smoke, because
Smoking for sure will never help your lungs battle an infection.
that's and I think we can also go on to vaping with this as well, but I mean that's a whole other conversation. What I wanted to talk about, so this is a virus. What are the treatments for this, because it's specifically a virus? So my understanding is antibiotics are not really going to help. Sort of a little bit of bed rest and other kind of anti-mucus medication may not be the right way to go, and seeking treatment is important.
No, definitely. And yes, as you might know, viruses are very difficult to fight and to treat. We've seen it with COVID. We see it also with influenza. So there are antivirals that exist, but they need to be provided very early in the infection for them to have any kind of actual effect. So yes, treating a viral infection usually revolves around treating the symptoms. So for fever, for example, you could treat the fever or try to treat the cough, etc. But yeah, the treatment around viral infections are always tricky.
All right. And sort of prevention, is there something that we can do to prevent infection, or is it just part of living in our world?
So yes, definitely. Again, the COVID-19 was a great example of what we can do to prevent infection, and it starts with the non-pharmaceutical intervention, as we call them, where you try to avoid contact with people being sick, as you had mentioned also before, trying to avoid babies being in contact with family or friends that would be having symptoms. And then there are also now pharmaceutical interventions that exist that have been put on the market, vaccines and monoclonal antibodies, to make sure that babies are protected against infection.
Can we touch on some of those? Just sort of no, not in detail, but just sort of what is available?
So there are two types of interventions that are available. There is a vaccine that is provided to the pregnant woman that will generate a production of antibodies in the pregnant woman, and those antibodies will be passed on to the infants before being born and will stay with the infant with the baby after birth so that the baby is protected during the first months of life. And there is also directly a monoclonal antibody that is injected to the infant, ideally right before the start of the season or during the season if the infant is born during the season, as we mentioned, between February and May. And this monoclonal antibody is directly an antibody, so the kind of the little soldiers that are used by the immune system to fight off the virus. So it's a direct injection of those antibodies because at its age, near birth, the immune system of the babies are too immature to answer to a vaccine and will not be able to effectively produce their own antibodies. So that's why we inject them directly, so that the infant is protecting it's protected during their first season.
Okay. With the vaccinations, is this something that's part of normal vaccination protocol, or is this something that's elective for the moms that are expecting?
So for that, the moms will need to follow the recommendations that exist and the advice of their healthcare professionals to see if they can get access to the vaccine. And then for the monoclonal antibody, it's the same. Talk to your healthcare professional on how to get access to make sure that the babies are protected.
Okay. And then since the introduction of the vaccine and the antibodies, are we seeing quite a good reduction in the rates of infants being hospitalized?
So it is actually the first season where both
Okay.
products are available. So it's difficult. It's a bit too
Okay.
early to be taking conclusions. But it's the first season. It's the first season in South Africa, but it's not the first season in other countries. So yes, the products have proven their impact on reducing RSV infections, definitely.
Okay, fantastic. I was just going to, what a time to be alive, because that's one of the things that I absolutely love about being on the show and hosting it and having the opportunity to speak to healthcare professionals and just see where we're moving and the changes and the developments that are being made are absolutely unbelievable. If we're looking in at the history of the disease, sort of in South Africa and perhaps worldwide, how serious has it been in terms of the statistics? What are the percentages that if we have of infants being hospitalized and then sadly passing away, what is the recovery rate? I want to touch on that. We're going to go to ads, and then when we come back, we will get that answer from you. We can, Diane. Thank you. All right, you're listening to the Disco Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel. I'm chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi, and we're chatting about the RSV virus. Let us have your questions for our guest on 061-895-1019. And Carol, I promise to read them. Thank you.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
And you've been listening to the Dischem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi. We're chatting RSV, and let me give it a go again. You know, I can read it 200 times in an hour and still get it wrong. So respiratory, sensational virus. Okay, there we go. I think just before we went to ad break, we were going to chat about the statistics and the history of this, of RSV. Can you give us a little bit of background, sort of when we became aware of it, and the severity in the world and in South Africa?
Yeah, so indeed, as I mentioned, it's a virus that is very common, that has been common for a long time. And it is estimated that globally, at the global level, 33 million severe infection occur, with 3.6 million hospitalization in 1 year. And that leads to around 100,000 deaths attributable to RSV in a year. So that's on a global level. Those are huge numbers. And those deaths actually occur in majority in lower and middle income countries. In South Africa specifically, the number of severe infection is around 96,000. In terms of hospitalization, for example, in the first 6 months of life, it is estimated that 22%, so it's around 1 in 5 hospitalization, all-cause hospitalization, is due to RSV. So again, it's a very high number, and to prove that RSV is very frequent.
That's and obviously a huge burden on the healthcare system as well.
Yes.
Mentioning sort of the lower and middle income regions and countries, is that because there's late hospitalization or just because of lack of treatment and lack of facilities?
Yes, yeah, so it could be, it's probably a mix of those different reasons, access to care, timely access to care and to effective treatment could explain indeed increased hospitalization rates in those countries.
Because I mean, those stats are huge. Over 100,000 deaths a year is something that can be quite terrifying and scary for parents. How concerned should people be? Or is this something that almost should be packaged with, these are the things we need to look out for, not be terrified about?
Well, definitely. I think, parents know how to take care of their babies, and they know to be cautious when the babies get sick. I think it's just to be aware that this is RSV specifically is one of the viruses that can cause infection and can cause severe infection, and to always be mindful of that and to seek advice from healthcare professionals anytime there is a doubt of how the baby and the health status of the baby. So don't hesitate to seek advice, I think is a general advice for babies.
I think my sense would be that because it's been around for so long, it's so well understood that healthcare professionals know what to look for, and it's not something that's new or unusual, so that there's a very good chance of the correct identification going to your health care professional if you have a sick little one.
Yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned, because of also the very high number of infection that RSV causes, and because it is seasonal, so all of those infections are concentrated on only a few months. So it will disrupt the healthcare system. It does in all of the countries, whether high or low in middle income countries. And being able to Identify it early and also to prevent it can also, of course, improve the lives of babies and families as a whole, but also have an impact on the structure and on the organization of the healthcare system and avoid this yearly disruption because of the massive influx of babies that will need treatment.
Sure, and that then obviously puts a huge strain on resources where you're looking potentially, heaven forbid, of not being able to get treatment or get access to the treatment because the system is so overwhelmed. I just wanted to go back to the statistics and to touch on sort of what is happening with the treatments. I know we mentioned sort of the vaccine is new, the antibodies are new, but over the last sort of few decades, have we seen a decrease in the severity or the number of hospitalizations and deaths because working within modern healthcare systems, or is it something that sort of remained constant?
I think, of course, I mean, generally speaking, improvement of treatment and the improvement of access to treatment will definitely support better outcomes for the infection to make sure that the babies come out healthy of this event. But yes, I think the arrival of those preventative measures, whether vaccine or monoclonal antibody, will definitely is a major will have a major impact and is definitely something that is very new compared to what was usually happening to prevent the disease. So those are really new kind of approaches, new weapons that we can use against the disease.
Oh, phenomenal. As I said, what a time to be alive. It's unbelievable. And I think this is just from my sense in speaking to so many healthcare professionals, even from professors in working in virology and so on, it's COVID taught us a lot. The pandemic really taught us a lot. It taught the systems a great deal. And I think it's as damaging as it was and as traumatic as it was for so many, it's really going to contribute tremendously to the development of treatments and of vaccines and improving healthcare in the future. So something that I'm a little excited about. We're going to go to ad break. When I'm back, I'm going to ask a pretty standard question when we're back that I ask most people, but for older members of our society, because 65, 70 is not old, you know, if you're choosing to live well. But, and then what can we be doing in our lifestyle? I know we touched on smoking, and what other things should we be doing to give ourselves a fighting chance? We'll get to that straight after these ads. You are listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Single. I'm chatting with Diane Baron. We're talking about RSV. We'll be back with you after these ads.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008. Each of us is on life's journey. Thank you for letting Chai FM provide the soundtrack to your life. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
It's a really beautiful day in Johannesburg. It's just gone 9:40. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. I'm chatting with Diane Baron from Sanofi. We're talking RSV. And just before we went to ads, Diane wanted to touch on, and you know, I think it's again speaking and talking about the obvious in terms of lifestyle, but for older members of our community, if they're wanting to not necessarily protect themselves, but give themselves a better chance, what are some of the lifestyle things they should be doing and also not doing?
All right, so I'm probably not the best person in terms of providing this kind of advice. Definitely seek out your advice from your healthcare professional, but I think those revolve around, you know, what we hear frequently in terms of diet, exercising, healthy life hygiene in general, and to make sure that, yeah, if we focus on infection in particular, to try and avoid contact with people that will be infected, especially if we are living with a chronic disease or comorbidity.
100%. I think it's just simple advice, and I do like to ask the question each show when I get the opportunity, just to drum it into people. It's very simple. It's eat like an adult. If you wouldn't feed it to a baby, don't eat it. You know, get your exercise, get movement, don't smoke, don't vape, limit your alcohol, and just live responsibly. Obviously, I need to be careful saying that to a French person. Red wine is not alcohol, so I do apologize. But if
Well,
we are,
it is
yeah,
alcohol,
no,
and let
it
me
is
know.
absolutely. One of the things also that I just wanted to get an understanding on, and not really asking for predictions, but in your sense and in your experience, where we are moving with vaccines, where we are moving with the opportunity to provide antibodies for infants, where in your sense do we see the next 5 to 10 years in treatment for RSV?
So yes, with a massive adoption of those preventative measures, other countries have shown to dramatically reduce the number of infections. There are studies from other countries like France, like Spain, like Chile, that have adopted those measures. And where, when you look at the curve of infection, because in each country there is a seasonality, where it's always this dramatic increase and then the decrease of the rate of infection. And then suddenly, when there is the measures like the monoclonal antibody, it's called nirsevimab, maybe just to avoid saying the monoclonal antibody each time. But with a massive adoption of nirsevimab, you do see a drastic decrease of infection, and suddenly the curve becomes almost flat. So yes, I think with those measures that now are available to the public, and with a massive adoption of those measures, there is a potential to have a major impact on and a major decrease of the infections in the different countries.
Right. And that then again benefits everyone and sort of everything within the healthcare system, because the le less strain, then the more opportunity there is to treat other people, other
Exactly.
diseases and other disorders, because yeah, the system is limited and it's finite. So are there programs that you're aware of in South Africa in terms of educating the public about the vaccine that's available, or is this something that's really going to just be from the healthcare provider to the parent or to the patient?
So on that front, of course, we leave it to the government and to the healthcare associations to provide the guidelines to the parents and to the families on how to protect their youngest. And yes, as I mentioned as well, it's the first season where those products are available. So I think it's also a reason of making sure that and figuring out how to make sure that a majority of people have access to those products. Yeah, I think that's what we are hoping for, is that everyone can get access to it, so that we can again reduce dramatically the disease and make sure that, you know, families can live without this threat on their infants.
And I think it's so important that, so if you have a newborn, if you are expecting, particularly because we're smack bang in the middle of the season and the peak, speak to your healthcare professional, go and have a chat to them. Just on, you know, something a little bit lighter, but perhaps also quite serious, they can just say RSV to the doctors,
Yes.
and they'll understand. They don't have to try and use the my poor pronunciation. They'll be going,
Definitely.
you know, to what Nick said on Chai FM. That so yeah, absolutely okay. And I think then there will be the opportunity for the treatment and for the antibodies.
Exactly.
And in terms of availability, is it nationally that are you aware of, or is it just sort of in the major centers at the moment, or is that more sort of a governmental decision?
So availability is there. I mean, I can speak mainly for Sanofi's product, but yeah, availability is there. Again, speak to your healthcare professional to know how to get access to it. And our ambition is to make sure again that it is accessible to the highest number. So yeah, don't hesitate to ask about it and to make sure that to see if you can get access to it for your infant.
Absolutely. And get your information from your healthcare professional, not
Yes.
necessarily groups online and so on, because rather speak to your healthcare professional and have one source of the information. Just before we start to wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to touch on or mention, perhaps that we haven't yet?
No, I think just to recap that RSV is very frequent, that it can cause very severe disease, that all babies, whether even if they are full term and very healthy initially, all babies can be at risk of severe disease and hospitalization due to RSV. So protecting the majority of babies is of very high importance. And yes, there are now, for the first time in South Africa, there are products that are available. Maybe to mention something that there was initially another product available, but it was very limited for the use of babies that were born with very high risk or high comorbidities. So it's the first time in South Africa that there are products available for the high number and for the lay public in general. So yeah, speak to your healthcare professionals, as you say, Nicholas, and make sure that you get advice from professionals on how to get access to those products.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic advice. And I think really that the Professor Lucille Bloomberg, who has been a guest on our show quite often, has said something that really is important. And she talks about patient empowerment or patient power, that as the patient, as the member of the public, as the person, you have the power to ask, to discuss, to talk, to learn, and to get educated, and then take advantage of what's available. And it's definitely something that we need to do. Just if we can touch on it, just perhaps before we go to the last set of ads, the uptake in the countries where it's been released before that, has that been good? Have you seen a good response from the public?
Yeah, and I think this is always driven by how the health authorities are driving the communication and their recommendation, their guidelines on how to use the products. But definitely, I think parents, they welcome any measure that could prevent their babies from getting sick, especially from such a frequent infection as RSV, because bronchiolitis usually is a scary word for parents. So yes, definitely, we've seen that the health authorities and the public, they welcome those kind of new measures.
Sure. It's absolutely fantastic. We're going to go to ads, and then when we're back, we'll just say thank you to you and we'll wrap up the show. Let's go to the ad break.